The following is a Raygun-armed, faster-than-light presentation of GalacticNetcasts.com.
The Time Traveling Robots in Space Podcast starts now.
Hey everybody, welcome to episode 18 of the Time Traveling Robots in Space Podcast for Tuesday, January 17th, 2012. I'm the Inner Dave, alongside Paul Swickard, or Paul Swickland, as he's also known. And for the Spreecast viewers, Paul is holding up an action figure to his camera. What the hell is that?
It is a Sith from Star Wars: The Old Republic.
Oh yeah, I did see a lightsaber there. Cool.
Indeed.
So how are you?
Just nice for you viewers. I'm rolling. It is a wonderful day. It's a good day to talk about time travel, robots, and space. And yeah. I'm not just saying that. It really is a good day.
I'm not just saying that to humor you, Dave. I'm not just here to just because you want me here. I'm here because I want to be here as well. Because you enjoy this.
Up until this point, I was totally faking it. Now I am totally invested.
You're all in. All right. This is the podcast where we do talk about time travel, robots, and space in three separate sections of the show. Each section, we do two stories each, be it a science fiction story or a lot of times a science fact type story. And Paul is famous for throwing in a video or two, which we always put the link in the show notes at galacticnetcast.com. All right, so for those of you checking us out on Spreecast, feel free to ask us questions throughout the show. At the very end, when we're done doing the actual podcast part, we're going to do a post show, and we'll put at least one of you on cam and take your questions that way as well. So if you're ready, I'm ready. Paul, are you ready?
Let's do this.
All right.
Let's go.
Sector 1, time travel.
All right, the Sundance Film Festival is going on this Thursday through Sunday. Did you know that, Paul?
I did know that, and that is wonderful.
Yes, Park City, Utah.
Sundance should happen.
Park City, Utah is the place, and one of the movies being shown this year is called Safety Not Guaranteed. It's about three magazine employees who are sent to investigate a personal ad placed in the newspaper by a guy seeking a partner for time travel. Darius, played by Aubrey Plaza, we all know her from Parks and Recreation. She is recruited as the shill. Do you know what a shill is, Paul?
I do know what a shill is. You know what a shill is the question.
Yes, I do. Yeah. Oh, did you think I was asking you because I didn't know?
No.
Okay. Well, for the listeners, for the listeners that have no idea what a shill is, it kind of sounds like a word from the 1940s. It's a person that kind of plays the part. So she is basically playing the part of the person responding to this personal ad, looking for a travel companion that will be his companion in their time travel adventures, I guess. Anyways, she kind of falls for him a little bit. She sees the person that's inside this paranoid loner person, but this still doesn't rule out the possibility that he is just a crazy person. According to Sundance, Safety Not Guaranteed is a film with clever dialogue and outlandish antics peppered with misfit characters wrapped in a love story, tingling with the tantalizing possibility of time travel. The script is based on an actual classified ad that turned into an internet meme and was originally featured on The Tonight Show with Jay Leno in the headlines segment. So far, there's no word when this movie will be getting a wider release, but hopefully if it does well at Sundance, we will all see it very soon in a theater near you. Again, the movie is called Safety Not Guaranteed. Initial thoughts, sir.
I did not know it was a comedy. That is my initial thought, but there you go. It's funny.
Go ahead.
It's funny. It's like you mentioned a shill. So are they already assuming that this is a con? Is that what we are led to believe?
No, that she's acting as the shill to play the part as the person responding to the ad to find out more about what he's all about, to find out if this guy's legit or not.
Right. So either the idea is she is not really into it at first, right? Like, she obviously doesn't care one way or the other about the guy. She just wants to know.
Yeah, she just wants the story. They're investigating to see whether this guy is legit or not. Obviously, they probably think he's crazy, and he may be crazy, but she kind of falls for him a little bit, I think, and sees the person inside the crazy guy.
I just hope that he really is a time traveler. That needs to happen.
And Inertia in the chat room says Doctor Who, and I agree. I think it could be the actual real-life Doctor Who. What if... Hey,
oh, very cool.
I just thought of something. What if Doctor Who's based... What if Doctor Who's based on a real person?
You can never say who it is.
What?
Forget it. That was a very silly joke.
Okay.
Who is Doctor Who based on, Dave?
Oh, I get it. I see what you're saying. Okay. Yeah. That's funny, Paul. And you know what?
I
know that you're not a Doctor Who fan, so you're kind of making fun of it at the same time. So I'm a little bit...
I am not. I'm making fun of you. There's a difference.
You're making fun of the show. No, I think that Doctor Who may be a real person, and... The BBC is in cahoots with the Doctor to make it seem like fiction, and they made a TV show after the real guy. It's actually a biography of a real person.
Mm-hmm. Is that person you?
You would never know.
Are you English?
No, I'm not.
No.
Maybe the real Doctor.
You're going to a telephone booth?
Maybe the real Doctor Who is not actually English.
Maybe not. Maybe not. Maybe they changed it for content purposes.
And to make sure that he never actually was found out to be a real person.
Absolutely.
Okay.
What are we talking about?
We could go on and on like this forever. But you've got a story to tell us about, Paul. What do you got?
Indeed. Time travel. This is the, if you can believe it, this is the more legitimate side of time travel. Arizona State University, ASU, they are having and apparently they have an annual convention of sci-fi lectures and sci-fi meets. So it's kind of like a mishmash of the whole sci-fi meets science fiction, or rather sci-fi versus science fact. And a fellow named Paul Davies, who is a very popular author who, among other things, wrote How to Build a Time Machine, will be their lecturer there. So it's actually fairly cool. They are going to have a variety of different people there, including him. Is let me see if I can find this here. Was I forget the fellow's name, but he played Quark on DS9.
Armin Shimmerman,
thank you so much.
Yep.
Yeah, he will be there as well. And yeah, it's a basically all-around lecture about how science fiction has influenced science fact, and, you know, what is, like, how we can distinguish, like, what are the next steps in the whole time-traveling both genre, both as a, you know, as a fictional medium as reality.
That sounds like something...
And, yeah, it's like...
That sounds like something that I'd love to go see.
It sounds amazing. I wish I could go. But yeah, anybody out there listening in the Arizona State area should definitely attend. It has not happened yet. I believe, let's see if I can find exactly it. It is at 7 p.m. on which day? I don't know. I know this is riveting, isn't it?
It's great radio, Paul.
It totally is.
So this is Paul Davies.
But yes, ASU.
Okay, Paul Davies he's the scientist guy, but Armin Shimmerman is brought in as kind of as an added bonus to the whole thing.
Davies is they're calling him an internationally acclaimed cosmologist. Okay. Astrobiologist and theoretical physicist.
Wow.
That's a mouthful. Yeah.
You know you're a smart... I was going to say, you know you're a smart person when you have three things after your name.
I know, for sure. You can't, like... Normally, when people say my name, three things that follow it usually aren't that great. But this guy, that seems pretty cool. I'm, you know, good for him.
Yeah, I guess it depends on what those three things are, because it could be Dave Nelson, garbage man. What else could I put on there?
Hey,
can't
discourage the garbage man.
No, I'm not. No, I'm not disparaging anything. I'm just saying it depends on what the three things are. If there are three, like,
exactly,
science-related things or, like, something super smart, yeah. But if it's, like, three just normal things, like me and you are just, we do normal jobs. Not that impressive. Mm-hmm. All right.
I understand.
This,
for more information, beyond.asu.edu, and it's first come, first serve, and it is also free.
Okay, so if you want to find out exactly when the date is and more information, we will have a link to this story in the show notes at galacticnetcast.com. And speaking of that, if you want to subscribe to this podcast, you can go to galacticnetcast.com. On the right-hand side rail of pretty much every page that you go to, you can subscribe to either this or the other two podcasts that we do, or you can fill out a little form that you'll get an email sent with a link to our latest shows. So again, go to galacticnetcasts.com and subscribe to this podcast, The Time Traveling Robots in Space. Let's move on to robots.
Sector 2. Robots.
All right. This story has me excited beyond belief, and we have talked about this before, but it's developing. It's getting bigger.
Ooh.
Okay?
Okay.
Are you ready?
Go on. Hit me.
Steven Spielberg recently spoke to Time Out London about his upcoming film Robopocalypse. Remember we talked about that?
Indeed. That was like towards the beginning of when we started this.
That was like episode one, I believe, actually.
Maybe.
The sci-fi...
Yes.
Okay.
Robopocalypse.
The sci-fi...
It's difficult to say.
Yeah, it is hard to say. The sci-fi flick, which is based on the best-selling novel by Daniel H. Wilson, is a movie about a global war between man and machine. And it's not the Terminator, sorry. Spielberg says Robopocalypse will hit closer to home because it takes place 15 or 20 years from now, and it'll be another future we can relate to. The director also opened up about the film's story. He says it's about the consequences of creating technologies which makes our lives easier, and what happens when that technology becomes smarter than we are. It's not the newest theme. It's been done throughout science fiction, but it's a theme that becomes more relevant every year. Robopocalypse is expected to hit theaters sometime in 2013. So, yeah. Bring it on. Robopocalypse. Plus, Spielberg film. Come on.
Let us hope it's not another AI. That's all I'm going to say about that.
Oh, you want it to be?
No.
Oh.
AI is horrible.
Oh, okay. Oh, I thought you liked AI.
No, I don't like AI at all.
Okay.
Are we talking about I'm assuming we're talking about the film.
Yeah.
No, I thought AI was not good. That was my personal opinion. I thought he tried to do a bit too much. But, you know, that's just me.
You're a fan of iRobot.
Yes. I enjoy the iRobot. I think that was a good movie.
Okay.
At least better.
I think I was confused. I think I thought that you liked AI and was thinking iRobot at the same time. So I apologize, Paul.
No, it's fine.
You know, I heard today, I was listening to a podcast called, what is it called? Star Talk? Star Talk Radio?
Okay.
Neil deGrasse Tyson is the host of this. And he did he was doing a best of from last year, and he had on the Bad Astronomy guy, what's his name? Phil Plate. And Phil Plate, no, was it Phil Plate or somebody else that was on the episode? I think it was, who else did he have on? He had a bunch of famous people. He had Morgan Freeman on. And Morgan Freeman, it could have been Morgan Freeman or somebody else that was on the same episode talking about the end of the world. And they thought it wasn't aliens that was going to cause our demise. It was going to be robots that was going to cause the end of the world. Cause, not necessarily okay. the end of the world, but cause humans to become extinct. What do you think about that?
I see. It does have a certain ironic appeal. You know, the idea that mankind will eventually stew in their own juices, that's kind of, you know, people in media really tend to like that idea.
Mm-hmm.
But I guess, how's this? We are, at this point, at least as far as we can tell, at this point we are further along in the robots taking over than the alien invasion, right? So we have not had, to the best of our knowledge, we have not had first contact, right?
Yep.
So that would strike me as the first step in an alien invasion. I don't think they would just invade just for funsies. But in terms of our robots, we have new robots all the time. This is constantly occurring, and they're continually getting smarter. So I think, at least at this point, that is more likely.
Yep. And as we've seen with all the videos that you've shared over the last 18 episodes of this podcast, they are getting smarter all the time, and they're becoming more prevalent. They're becoming part of our yeah. daily lives. So, yeah,
absolutely true.
I could totally see this happening. The robots taking over and killing their human creators and becoming Cylons.
I believe.
And becoming Cylons and going back to the other, what, 12 colonies of Caprica?
Mm-hmm.
Or of the 12 colonies? The Earth was the 13th colony, right?
You're asking me? I don't know. Okay. I would have asked you.
Okay. Yeah. I guess I'm the Battlestar nerd here. All right. So enough with that story. What do you have for us?
In a further solidification that the robots are, in fact, taking over, you gave me this story, and it was just too good to pass up. A device has been created called Ollie, and Ollie is intended to plug into your computer, and it connects with a social network. And the idea is that it will produce a smell that is that is associated with your particular network. So, in other words, whenever you know someone follows you on Twitter, whenever someone likes you on Facebook, you can program it to choose something. You could program it to emit a fruit odor or a perfume odor or a cologne, or they even suggested a drop of gin or any combination of the stuff I've just listed. So yeah, that good times. I want an Ollie, and they did make it a point, by the way, that you can have multiple Ollies connected to different social networks all on your computer, and they're stackable. So in other words, you get a perfume scent whenever you have a Facebook like, and you get a flower scent whenever you get a Twitter post.
You know, I don't know. That's a whole lot of different smells all in one room. If you're in an enclosed area and you've got like all these different smells associated with different things on Facebook and Twitter and Google Plus, it's going to stink. It's going to smell really bad in that room.
It will. It will be awful. I love how they're selling this. It's like you can know that someone has followed you on Facebook without ever having to open your eyes. Oh, ain't that sweet?
You know, humans are becoming more lazy as time goes by, and this is just another sign that we are doomed. I welcome the robot apocalypse, robot whatever that's called. The robots taking over the world and killing us all, because we're going to deserve it, you know? If we're making crap...
Are you making a value judgment on the... on the human race?
Yes.
Is that what you're doing?
Yes, I am. If we're making crap like this, we deserve to be killed by the robots uprising. The robot uprising in 20 years.
You have gone too far. How dare you create this Smell-O-Vision social network thing? What is wrong with you? The human race is done.
And by the way, inertia has the solution to this problem, a Glade plugin. If it gets too stinky in the room from all the smells coming from Facebook, Twitter, and Google+, just get a Glade plugin, and that'll take care of the problem.
I think maybe the Glade plugin would be a replacement for this particular product.
Yeah.
And by the way, this is a startup. This is a Kickstarter program. So they don't have all of the capital to go forward, but with your help, it can soon be a reality.
Yay. So go over to Kickstarter right now and donate a little money. And by the way, if you want to donate to what we do at galacticnetcast.com, you can go over to the website and donate if you feel this is a quality enough program to donate your money to. You can give us $1. You can give us $2. You can give us $2.25. Or if you're really rich, maybe $10. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Thanks.
We've got a donation thing set up at galacticnetcast.com. And also one more thing. You can listen to us on, what is it? Hang on. I got to go to the very end of the document here. Stitcher Smart Radio. Paul. Pop quiz. What different devices is Stitcher Smart Radio available on?
I understand the question. Let me pretend as though I don't have that in front of me. I'm guessing an iPhone.
Yes.
An Android. And we'll say WebOS. And that has to be it.
Let's see. You said iPhone, BlackBerry, and WebOS, right?
No.
Oh.
No, you just ruined the joke. But thank you.
Okay.
Yes, you have iPhone, Android, BlackBerry, and WebOS.
Okay.
For all of those wonderful things.
Okay.
You can listen.
Those platforms and more. You can listen to our show and all the shows on galacticnetcast.com, on Stitcher Smart Radio. And if you haven't downloaded the app yet, this is an app. You stream our content onto your device. You don't download anything. It streams via Stitcher.com. If you haven't got the app yet, go to Stitcher.com/, Galactic Netcasts, and enter the promo code Galactic Netcasts for a chance to win a $100 cash card. Holy crap.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Whoa. Dude, we've hit the big time now. We have our own promo codes.
I know. I felt really good when I found out that we would get a promo code with this. So, again, that's stitcher.com/galacticnetcasts, and put in the Galactic Netcast promo code for a chance to win $100. Stitcher Smart Radio, the smarter way to listen to radio. And let's move on. Hang on. Here it is.
Space.
All right, from GateWorld.net, two of Stargate's writers, Joseph Malozzi and Paul Mully, have written a 4-issue comic series titled Dark Matter for Dark Horse Comics, with the first installment available now. The story goes like this. A derelict ship floats in space. Its troubled crew awaken from stasis with no memories of who they are or how they got aboard. Their search for answers triggers the vessel's deadly security system, a relentless android bent on their destruction. Facing threats at every turn, they have to work together to survive a voyage charged with vengeance, redemption, betrayals, and hidden secrets best left unknown. Malozzi said he is currently pitching Dark Matter as a high-end cable TV series. Sounds pretty awesome to me.
Sound pretty cool.
Yeah.
This is interesting. So this is Dark Horse Comics, you said, right?
Yes. Yes, it is.
That's pretty cool. It reminds me a bit of, what is it, Event Horizon?
Yeah, it does kind of. It reminds me of a lot of different movies and TV series. Just for the fact, what was Pandora?
I guess that's kind of a trope, isn't it? Like you have, like, you know, a similar thing happened with the whole Alien.
and Pandorica. Have you seen Pandorica? Mm-hmm. How they all...
No, I've heard of it.
Okay. They all wake up not knowing where they are and what they're doing. It's kind of the same, but different.
I see. So Space Hangover.
Yeah, Space Hangover. And you've got the title of tonight's episode. Thank you very much, Paul. Space Hangover.
That's why you pay me. That's why you pay me the big bucks.
Yeah. It goes with last week's inertia. What was last week's title? Space Weed. So we smoked the space weed last week, and we've got space Hangover this week. They complement each other.
Very cool.
So yeah, cool. I'm guessing that the Dark Matter series is available not just in physical form, but it's also available on various online different platforms as well.
That's awesome.
I'm not really a comic book person. Does Dark Horse have their own app?
I'm not sure if Dark Horse does. Usually, obviously you have the two big ones that have their own apps, but I'm not sure if Dark Horse does. I would assume so.
I'm thinking that maybe this is available on Comixology.
Yes. Okay. Comixology is awesome.
Yeah.
If you're into comics at all.
I hear it's pretty cool. I'm not into comics, but I hear it's pretty cool. So check it out.
Indeed, sir.
Again, Dark Matter, available right now, at least the first issue is. Okay, in the space category, what do you have for us, Paul?
Well, as most of you know, the NASA space exploration has been, shall we say, postponed. At least I hope postponed. They say canceled. I say postponed. And as a result, you have a lot of fledgling folks that are trying to actually continue the space program in various forms. And one of the first ones is called the SpaceX program, which I believe we've actually talked about here on the show.
Yeah, we have.
They're basically California-based, and their goal is to try to get the very first rocket into space. Now, they had a flight on, I believe it was December of last year, and now they were targeting a new date to where the capsule would actually intersect with I don't know if you can call it a space station, but basically attach itself to an orbiting device.
Well, didn't they?
If that makes sense.
Weren't they planning on docking with the ISS?
I don't know if they were talking about the ISS. See, that's not called out specifically here. That would make a heck of a lot more sense.
Yeah.
If they were.
I think they are.
Yeah, unfortunately, the news this week is that it was delayed for reasons unknown. They said, quote, in preparation for the upcoming launch, SpaceX continues to conduct extensive tests and analysis. And we believe there are a few areas that will benefit from additional work, and we will optimize the safety and success of this mission. So, yeah, you can say that, I mean, about pretty much anything. Mm. And they kind of went all Blizzard on us, if you know what company that is. They essentially said, we will let you know when the new launch date is and when it's done, basically.
Okay.
There's no future date at this particular point. And you know what? I have to think that I'm just, you know, as much as I'd like to see the space program continue, I think that this is a good thing, at least from what it sounds like. If they're admitting that my job is in software development and they're open, they need more time to test. They need more time to test.
Yep.
And I get that. And I would much rather have them do that than risk a public failure.
If you're going to do it right. That's my stance on things. And knowing this company's history, they're all in. They're all into space. So it's not like they're going to... Go ahead.
Yeah, the pedigree down there is great. I mean, now you have, like, in fact, they have, NASA is in, I don't know how much of, you know, collaboration they've had, but they definitely have some. Because you're talking about, I believe one of the things that said is that SpaceX will receive $396 million for a successful completion of the milestones outlined in the Space Act Agreement. mm-hmm. which is in cooperation with NASA. So yeah, I mean, you have a lot of people. There's more to it than just the idea of space exploration. They also, you know, want the program itself to be monetarily successful.
Well,
so that way Dave can get his vacation spaceflight.
Yes. Well, that's the whole goal. That's the new direction of NASA, is encouraging private space flights, and SpaceX is using a lot of NASA resources, as well as, if they can accomplish their goals, getting this large amount of money, which is good motivation for SpaceX as well as our government, because even though that number looks really big to us, they're still saving a hell of a lot of money having these private companies do their grunt work for them.
Oh, absolutely. And I would imagine that when, assuming this company hits their milestone, they're going to need it. They're going to need that money, because launching things into space is no picnic, mm-hmm. especially when you're talking about manned spaceflight. It gets expensive real quick.
Well, do you know what one of the goals of SpaceX is to build a rocket with a multi-stage rocket that each piece returns itself to space. It goes up in one piece, obviously, and then mm-hmm. when each part separates, they all land back where they launched from. They all come back. You know how back in the day, like back in like the 1950s and 60s, like science fiction movies, how the rockets always landed back on Earth like this, you know, vertically down, back down again. That's what they're going to work on. That's one of their goals.
That's very cool. I would imagine their hope is that it'll save them money in the long run.
Yep. Yeah, that's why they're doing that, because every time that they launch a rocket, a multi-stage rocket into space, they're losing those pieces into the ocean or wherever else. They can't use those pieces ever again. That's why we had the space shuttle program.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
All right.
Totally.
So they are down but not out. Looking forward to the rescheduled launch by SpaceX. All right. Let's move on. Recommendations. Do you want to go first, or do you want me to go first?
No, I'll go. This is from my childhood, so I have a natural affinity for it. This is my recommendation for this week, the 1986 movie Short Circuit. Have you seen it, Dave?
I've seen it a long time ago. Haven't seen it for a while. I forget what the plot is. I just know that there's kids and at least one robot running around.
There are no kids, though you could construe the robot as a child.
Okay.
When I first started watching the movie, the opening scene is a military demonstration of these robots blowing up these trucks, right?
Okay.
And inside those trucks were a bunch of test dummies, right? But I thought that they were real people, so I stopped watching. And it was one of those moments where I just oh my gosh, like, you know, they looked all plasticky and stuff, and I thought their faces had melted or something weird like that. So yeah, and then I didn't actually get to watching it fully for like another couple of years. It was interesting, to say the least.
So I'm guessing that you were rather young the first time that you attempted to watch Short Circuit.
When this was, let's see, 1986, so I was 7.
Wow.
Yeah. So Short Circuit, basically the idea is that you have these group of military robots. One of these robots gets struck by lightning and gains sentience, basically. And is just completely enamored with everything in the world and just tries to absorb and understand everything. And, you know, you have this, and the robot, finds himself inside this woman's home, and she is trying desperately to at first keep him out. And, of course, naturally they grow, and, you know, the woman and this robot grow an affinity for each other, along with one of the military scientists, and eventually, like, try to get number Johnny 5 his freedom.
I'm trying to find a video with his voice. Hang on one second.
Number Johnny 5 is alive.
That's the most I remember of this movie is Johnny 5's voice. The way he sound.
Yep.
sounded.
Yep.
Hang on.
It was, if you could remember, this movie had Ally Sheedy in it and Steve Guttenberg.
Yep.
So, yeah, just one of those weird things. But yes, Short Circuit is my recommendation for this week. It's a fun movie filled with heart.
Yeah. No, it'd be a great family movie, right? There's nothing too adult about it.
No. Like the scariest part was what I had already mentioned in the beginning, and that was because no one was around to tell me that those were not in fact real people.
No, it's okay, Polly. You can watch the rest of the movie.
Pretty much.
Yeah. All right. So, short is this available on streaming anyplace, like Netflix or?
That's a good question. Let me check very quickly. I don't think so. I should know this because I've looked recently specifically. I had an inkling.
I have not seen it come up in my science fiction category, so I doubt it.
It is available for streaming.
Oh, it is.
The first Short Circuit is. Yeah.
That's right.
The second Short Circuit, however, is not.
Oh, must be the second. The sequel must be better than the first. Probably no. Probably not.
Yeah, probably not. We could talk about that in another episode. Future recommendation.
Okay.
Short Circuit 2.
Next week, Short Circuit 2 is Paul's recommendation. You heard it here first. All right. Moving on to mine. Mine is brand spanking new, as opposed to yours, which is 1987. Mine is so new, it's a day old. That's as old as my recommendation is.
Are you sure you want to recommend this? You're putting yourself out there.
Yeah. No, I'm all in with this. My recommendation is Alcatraz. TV show debuted last night on Fox, starring Sam Neill, who is awesome, Sarah Jones, and George Garcia, of course, from Lost. The premise of the show is that when Alcatraz prison closed in 1963, its prisoners and personnel weren't transferred, but instead disappeared. And some of them are popping up in the present. Rebecca, a police detective, stumbles into the mystery when a dead body is discovered at a crime scene, a set of fingerprints from a prisoner who was at Alcatraz, but was supposedly long dead, is on at the crime scene. I wrote this terribly. She then teams up with Alcatraz historian Diego Soto, which is George Garcia. Is that his name? Yeah, George Garcia. And eventually they become part of a task force overseen by a mysterious man presenting himself as a federal agent, and that is Sam Neill. And he was actually one of the people that discovered all the prisoners had disappeared from Alcatraz back in 1963. The show is executive produced by J.J. Abrams and Bad Robot Production, and it really has the feel of a Lost and a Bad Robot production. It's got the music. It's got, swear to God, the end of both episodes, they could have been Lost episodes because they had the same, I don't know if it's an
oboe. They didn't answer anything?
No, yeah, they they opened up a new mystery. That's how Lost does it, and that's how Fringe does it. They always end with like this new thing, and this is exactly what this show did. And in fact, it felt more like Lost than Fringe does, because I don't know what they use, an oboe or whatever that one musical instrument is that they always had as the stinger to the holy crap, this just happened.
Yeah.
That's how they ended both of these episodes. It was a 2-hour premiere, but it was two separate episodes last night on Fox.
So is there a supernatural vibe about this thing, or is it more of a conspiracy type vibe?
It's a little of both. These people are coming.
Okay.
These people are either traveling through time. That's why this is my recommendation. This is a time travel recommendation. These people are either coming through time, or they haven't aged because they're all the same age they were back in 1963. But one of the questions I had, one of the things that I was thinking to myself was, they're either traveling through time or they're in limbo. They're either going from 1963 directly to our time, or they're in limbo someplace. They're like, they're being held by the government or by some other organization, being held in stasis or something like that, and then being introduced into the world with some kind of mission. Because one of the characters, one of the prisoners that came back that was at Alcatraz, was doing some things because he was told to. So I think to answer your question, Paul, I think it's a little of both. I think it's conspiracy, and I think it's a little, what was the other word that you used when you asked me that question?
Supernatural.
Supernatural. Thank you very much. So, yeah, I highly recommend Alcatraz Monday nights on Fox. This is a mid-season replacement, actually. It's not really a replacement. They broke up the Monday night's time slot between Alcatraz and the time travel show. They went back to the dinosaur. What was it called?
They went back to the dinosaur. Terra Nova?
Terra Nova. Thank you, Inertia, in the chat room. It's, you know, my forgetting the name of the show is no reflection on how I felt about the show. I like the show. That's just me forgetting names and words. I forget I forget names and words very easily. So
you're forgiven.
Okay. Thank you very much. So that is my recommendation. Sure. It is Alcatraz Monday nights on Fox. Check it out. Both episodes from last night are on Hulu already, so they're not waiting a week like a lot of shows are these days. Who are you waving at?
Very cool. No one. Oh. Nurse just said jazz hands.
Oh, okay. Like this? Yeah, this is great radio, isn't it? For the audio listeners, you have no idea what we're doing. So.
And I know y'all can't see him, but Dave is being hilarious.
I'm making faces. I'm mooning the camera. It's awesome.
So I'm told there should be a question of the week.
Yeah. Before we move on to that, though, speaking of people watching us, you can watch us on Spreecast.com. We record the show every Tuesday night at 9 p.m. Central Time. That would be 7 p.m. Pacific Time here in the United States of America. So
very cool.
If you want a little extra, you want a little video with your audio, check us out as we live stream. Plus, at the end of the show, we always bring people on camera and kind of do a Q&A at the very end. And you can always ask us questions, like you hear us mention Inertia's name a lot because she says a lot of things in the chat room, which we appreciate. So if you want to be part of the live show, check us out on Spreecast.com every Tuesday night at 9 Central, 7 Pacific Time right here on Spreecast.com. All right, so yeah, question of the week. You ready?
Let's go.
All right, if you could travel through time, how would you do it? Like, would you do it through a portal, a time machine, or a small switching device, like something on your belt? What would your preferred mode of transportation through time be, Paul Swigard?
You actually got me thinking on a very long tangent, because, you know, you have a lot of different ways of thinking about this. You can think of it as, you know, a car, like, you know, Back to the Future, or a portal, like all of those things that you mentioned. I think it would be kind of cool if you had some sort of portable device that you had on you that opened a portal up, a time portal up somewhere within relatively close proximity of the user, like, you know, within 100 feet. So, but you, the user, would have no way of knowing, like, you could explain it in some technical way, and you, the user, would have no way of knowing where that portal would show up. So okay. Once it's open, you actually have to find it.
Okay.
And, you know, and it would be only open for a certain amount of time. So that way, you have the potential for, one, not being able to find it at all, or two, actually having the way of unintended travelers go through your time portal.
And
I think that'd be kind of cool.
That would make for interesting shows. If this was a show and not real life.
That's exactly what I thought. I was like, oh, that strikes me as a kind of cool narrative. I would watch that show.
This reminds me a lot of a combination of two different shows. It reminds me of Sliders. Because I think they had to find a certain place to open up their portal. I'm not sure. It's kind of opposite of what you're talking about. And then it also reminds me of Quantum Leap because he had no control over where he ended up.
Mm-hmm.
So I like this.
Yeah, totally.
This adds
cool.
This adds a certain like unknown factor. Like that would be the plot device. That would be the twist in the show. If this was a show, it'd be the twist. It's like who is going to get sucked through the time portal with you? You know.
Yeah. I'd watch that show. Whoever, you know, in the entertainment community, I know, you know, all the major networks watch. Talk to me. We'll talk about the options.
You know, to add on to your idea too, I think it would be funny that every episode you and your traveling partners, if you say you'd pick up a few people along the way. This is like Paul's journey through time and space. And you start by yourself, but then you pick up companions along the way. And then every time that you always end up like in a really weird place, like the portal ends up in somebody's kitchen or you end up falling in a pool or something like that.
I would watch that show. I would watch that show.
Produced by Donald Belisario. He's the guy that did Quantum Leap. So, all right. So
how about you, sir? Tell me.
Okay, my device of time travel would be some sort of physical device, be it a car or some kind of time machine, because I feel like it would be more of a real thing. Like you would feel like you were going on a trip every time because you're getting inside a device, a capsule, or some kind of car.
Capsule,
thank you. Space capsule. Giving it too much thought. No. I feel like it would be more of a trip if you actually had to get in something, buckle yourself in, flick a bunch of switches, turn a bunch of knobs, push a bunch of buttons, lights light up, and things make noise. I think that would be more of an experience. You'd appreciate it more, I think, if you actually had to go through this rigmarole of turning on things and getting inside something. So that is my answer.
I understand.
So Inertia says, I dig the Captain Jack wristband thingamabob, always handy. You lost me.
Oh, okay.
What does that mean?
I don't know.
You don't know, Paul? Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah.
I'm assuming the wristband thing is a form of a time travel.
Oh, Captain Jack Harkness from Torchwood. Okay, sorry. I was thinking Captain Jack from Captain Jack Sparrow for some weird reason. All right, never mind. Yeah, I watched Torchwood. I know. I totally know. All right. Yeah, that's exactly what he did. He had a thing, a wristband thing. That's how he traveled through time, but he actually wasn't supposed to because I forget exactly what the story was, but the doctor didn't approve him going through time, and I forget exactly why that was. But he had to use it a couple of times because he had to use it. He had no choice. So
like a medical reason? Or
no, to escape. He had to escape and then bring some other people back from where he was. I forget exactly how it went.
Okay.
All right, so that's going to do it for this episode of the Time Traveling Robots in Space. Thank you for joining us, either the audio version, the podcast, or joining us here on Spreecast. GalacticNetcast.com is the place to go for every single damn thing. If you want to follow us on Twitter, Facebook, Google Plus, we've got all the links on the menu, not the side up and not the vertical side menu, but the horizontal top menu. You'll find Facebook. Click on that to follow us on Facebook. Click on Google Plus to add us to your circle, and then click on Twitter to follow us on Twitter. Now, you and me, we both have our very own personal Twitter accounts. What's yours, Paul?
Mine is P. Swickard. That is Swickard, and the letter P in front of it, not to be confused with Swickland, which other people who shall not be named like to call it.
Scott Johnson from Frog Pants Network calling you Paul Swickland on App Slappy. That was funny.
Hey, you know what? It's all good. It was a compliment.
Yes.
You can, and yourself.
You can find me on Twitter. I am the InterDave. Also, I'm on Google Plus, as in Dave, under Dave Nelson. And you are under Paul Swickard, not Paul Swickland, on Google Plus. Mm-hmm. All right. All right. Thank you for joining us for this edition of the Time Traveling Robots in Space. Until next week, Paul, we'll talk to you later. This has been a presentation of Galactic Netcasts. To subscribe to this and our other podcasts, go to galacticnetcasts.com.